tour through the eastern counties of England, 1722, I began my travels, where I purposed to end them, viz. At the city of London, and therefore my account of the city itself will come last, that is to say, at the latter end of my southern progress. And as in the course of this journey I shall have many occasions to call it a circuit, if not a circle, so I chose to give it the title of circuits in the plural, because I do not pretend to have traveled it all in one journey, but in many, and some of them many times over, the better to inform myself of everything I could find worth taking notice of. I hope it will appear that I am not the less, but the more capable of giving a full account of things, by how much the more deliberation I have taken in the view of them, and by how much the oftener I have had opportunity to see them. I set out the 3rd of April, 1722, going first eastward, and took what I think I may very honestly call a circuit in the very letter of it. For I went down by the coast of the Thames through the marshes or hundreds on the south side of the county of Essex, till I came to Maldon, Colchester, and Harwich, thence continuing on the coast of Suffolk to Yarmouth, thence round by the edge of the sea, on the north and west side of Norfolk, to Lynn, Wisbech, and the Wash, thence back again, on the north side of Suffolk and Essex, to the west, ending it in Middlesex, near the place where I began it, reserving the middle or center of the several counties to some little excursions, which I made by themselves. Passing Bow Bridge, where the county of Essex begins, the first observation I made was, that all the villages which may be called the neighborhood of the city of London on this, as well as on the other sides thereof, which I shall speak to in their order, I say, all those villages are encrusted in buildings to a strange degree, within the compass of about 20 or 30 years past at the most. The village of Stratford, the first in this county from London, is not only encrusted, but, I believe, more than doubled in that time, every vacancy filled up with new houses, and two little towns or hamlets, as they may be called, on the forest side of the town entirely new, namely Maryland Point and the Gravel Pits, one facing the road to Woodford and Epping, and the other facing the road to Ilford. And as for the hither part, it is almost joined to Bow, in spite of rivers, canals, marshy grounds, and sea, nor is this increase of building the case only in this, and all the other villages round London, but the increase of the value, and rent of the houses formerly standing has, in that compass of years above mentioned, advanced to a very great degree, and I may venture to say at least the fifth part, some think a third part, above what they were before. This is indeed most visible, speaking of Stratford in Essex, but it is the same thing in proportion in other villages adjacent, especially on the forest side, as at Low Leighton, Leightonstone, Walthamstow, Woodford, Wanstead, and the towns of West Ham, Plaistow, Upton, etc. In all which places, or near them as the inhabitants say, above 1,000 new foundations have been erected, besides old houses repaired, all since the Revolution. And this is not to be forgotten too, that this increase is, generally speaking, of handsome large houses, from £20 a year to £60, very few under £20 a year, being chiefly for the habitations of the richest citizens, such as either are able to keep two houses, one in the country and one in the city, or for such citizens as being rich, and having left off trade, live altogether in these neighboring villages, for the pleasure and health of the latter part of their days. The truth of this may at least appear, in that they tell me there are no less than 200 coaches kept by the inhabitants within the circumference of these few villages named above, besides such as are kept by accidental lodgers. This increase of the inhabitants, and the cause of it, I shall enlarge upon when I come to speak of the like in the counties of Middlesex, Surrey, and Sea, where it is the same, only in a much greater degree. But this I must take notice of here, that this increase causes those villages to be much pleasanter and more sociable than formerly, for now people go to them, not for retirement into the country, but for good company, of which, that I may speak to the ladies as well as other authors do, there are in these villages, nay, in all, three or four excepted, excellent conversation, and a great deal of it, and that without the mixture of assemblies, gaming houses, and public foundations of vice and debauchery. And particularly I find none of those incentives kept up on this side the country. Mr. Camden, and his learned continuator, Bishop Gibson, have ransacked this country for its antiquities, and have left little unsearched. And as it is not my present design to say much of what has been said already, I shall touch very lightly where two such excellent antiquaries have gone before me, except it be to add what may have been since discovered, which as to these parts is only this, that there seems to be lately found out in the bottom of the marshes, generally called Hackney Marsh, and beginning near about the place now called the Wick, between Old Ford and the said Wick, the remains of a great stone causeway, which, as it is supposed, was the highway, or great road from London into Essex, and the same which goes now over the great bridge between Bow and Stratford. That the great road lay this way, and that the great causeway landed again just over the river, where now the Temple Mills stand, and passed by Sir Thomas Hicks' house at Ruckles, all this is not doubted, and that it was one of those famous highways made by the Romans there is undoubted proof, by the several marks of Roman work, and by Roman coins and other antiquities found there, some of which are said to be deposited in the hands of the Rev. Mr. Stripe, vicar of the parish of Low Leighton. From hence the great road passed up to Leightonstone, a place by some known now as much by the sign of the Green Man, formerly a lodge upon the edge of the forest, and crossing by Wanstead House, formerly the dwelling of Sir Josiah Child, now of his son the Lord Castlemaine, of which hereafter went over the same river which we now pass at Ilford. And passing that part of the great forest which we now call Hainault Forest, came into that which is now the great road, a little on this side the whalebone, a place on the road so called, because the rib bone of a great whale, which was taken in the River Thames the same year that Oliver Cromwell died, 1658, was fixed there for a monument of that monstrous creature, it being at first about 8 and 20 feet long. According to my first intention of effectually viewing the sea coast of these three counties, I went from Stratford to Barking, a large market town, but chiefly inhabited by fishermen, who smacks right in the Thames, at the mouth of their river, from whence their fish is sent up to London to the market at Billingsgate by small boats, of which I shall speak by itself in my description of London. One thing I cannot omit in the mention of these Barking fisher smacks, viz., that one of those fishermen, a very substantial and experienced man, convinced me that all the pretenses to bringing fish alive to London market from the North Seas, and other remote places on the coast of Great Britain, by the new-built sloops called fish pools, have not been able to do anything but what their fishing smacks are able on the same occasion to perform. These fishing smacks are very useful vessels to the public upon many occasions, as particularly, in time of war they are used as press smacks, running to all the northern and western coasts to pick up seamen to man the navy, when any expedition is at hand that requires a sudden equipment. At other times, being excellent sailors, they are tenders to particular men of war, and on an expedition they have been made use of as machines for the blowing up of fortified ports and havens, as at Calais, St. Malo, and other places. This parish of Barking is very large, and by the improvement of lands taken in out of the Thames, and out of the river which runs by the town, the tithes, as the townsman assured me, are worth above £600 per annum, including small tithes. Note. This parish has two or three chapels of ease, viz., one at Ilford, and one on the side of Hainault Forest, called New Chapel. Sir Thomas Fanshawe, of an ancient Roman Catholic family, has a very good estate in this parish. A little beyond the town, on the road to Dagenham, stood a great house, ancient, and now almost fallen down, where tradition says the gunpowder treason plot was at first contrived, and that all the first consultations about it were held there. This side of the county is rather rich in land than in inhabitants, occasioned chiefly by the unhealthiness of the air, for these low marsh grounds, which, with all the south side of the county, have been saved out of the River Thames, and out of the sea, where the river is wide enough to be called so, begin here, or rather begin at West Ham, by Stratford, and continue to extend themselves, from hence eastward, growing wider and wider till we come beyond Tilbury, when the flat country lies 6, 7, or 8 miles broad, and is justly said to be both unhealthy and unpleasant. However, the lands are rich, and, as is observable, it is very good farming in the marshes, because the landlords let good pennyworths, for it being a place where everybody cannot live. Those that venture it will have encouragement, and indeed it is but reasonable they should. Several little observations I made in this part of the county of Essex. 1. We saw, passing from Barking to Dagenham, the famous breach, made by an inundation of the Thames, which was so great as that it laid near 5,000 acres of land under water, but which after near 10 years lying under water, and being several times blown up, has been at last effectually stopped by the application of Captain Perry, the gentleman who, for several years, had been employed in the Tsar of Muscovy's works, at Varenitsa, on the River Don. This breach appeared now effectually made up, and they assured us that the new work, where the breach was, is by much esteem the strongest of all the sea walls in that level. 2. It was observable that great part of the lands in these levels, especially those on this side East Tilbury, are held by the farmers, cowkeepers, and grazing butchers who live in and near London, and that they are generally stocked all the winter half year with large fat sheep, viz. Lincolnshire and Leicestershire wethers, which they buy in Smithfield in September and October, when the Lincolnshire and Leicestershire graziers sell off their stock, and are kept here till Christmas, or Candlemas, or thereabouts. And though they are not made at all fatter here than they were when bought in, yet the farmer or butcher finds very good advantage in it, by the difference of the price of mutton between Michaelmas, when it is cheapest, and Candlemas, when it is dearest. This is what the butchers value themselves upon, when they tell us at the market, that it is right marsh mutton. 3. In the bottom of these marshes, and close to the edge of the river, stands the strong fortress of Tilbury, called Tilbury Fort, which may justly be looked upon as the key of the River Thames, and consequently the key of the city of London. It is a regular fortification. The design of it was a pentagon, but the water bastion, as it would have been called, was never built. The plan was laid out by Sir Martin Beckman, chief engineer to King Charles II, who also designed the works at Sheerness. The esplanade of the fort is very large, and the bastions the largest of any in England. The foundation is laid so deep, and piles under that, driven down to an end of one another, so far, till they were assured they were below the channel of the river, and that the piles, which were shed with iron, entered into the solid chalk rock adjoining to, or reaching from, the chalk hills on the other side. These bastions settled considerably at first, as did also part of the curtain, the great quantity of earth that was brought to fill them up, necessarily requiring to be made solid by time. But they are now firm as the rocks of chalk which they came from, and the filling up one of these bastions, as I have been told by good hands, cost the government £6,000, being filled with chalk rubbish fetched from the chalk pits at Northfleet, just above Gravesend. The work to the land side is complete. The bastions are faced with brick. There is a double ditch, or moat, the innermost part of which is 180 feet broad, There is a good counter scarp, and a covered way marked out with ravelins and to nails, but they are not raised a second time after their first settling. On the land side there are also two small redoubts of brick, but of very little strength, for the chief strength of this fort on the land side consists in this, that they are able to lay the whole level under water, and so to make it impossible for an enemy to make any approaches to the fort that way. On the side next the river there is a very strong curtain, with a noble gate called the Water Gate in the middle, and the ditches palisadoed. At the place where the water bastion was designed to be built, and which by the plan, should run wholly out into the river, so to flank the two curtains of each side. I say, in the place where it should have been, stands a high tower, which they tell us was built in Queen Elizabeth's time, and was called the Blockhouse. The side next the water is vacant. Before this curtain, above and below the said vacancy, is a platform in the place of a counter scarp, on which are planted 106 pieces of cannon, generally all of them carrying from 24 to 46 pound ball. A battery so terrible as well imports the consequence of that place. Besides which, there are smaller pieces planted between, and the bastions and curtain also are planted with guns, so that they must be bold fellows who will venture in the biggest ships the world has heard of to pass such a battery, if the men appointed to serve the guns do their duty like stout fellows, as becomes them. The present government of this important place is under the prudent administration of the Right Honorable the Lord Newbury. From hence there is nothing for many miles together remarkable, but a continued level of unhealthy marshes, called the 300s, till we come before Lee, and to the mouth of the river Chelmer, and Blackwater. These rivers united make a large firth, or inlet of the sea, which by Mr. Camden is called a duminum fluvium, but by our fishermen and seamen, who use it as a port, it is called Malden Water. In this inlet of the sea is Ossie, or Ossith Island, commonly called Ossie Island, so well known by our London men of pleasure for the infinite number of wild fowl, that is to say, duck, mallard, teal, and wigeon, of which there are such vast flights, that they tell us the island, namely the creek, seems covered with them at certain times of the year, and they go from London on purpose for the pleasure of shooting, and, indeed, often come home very well laden with game. But it must be remembered, too, that those gentlemen who are such lovers of the sport, and go so far for it, often return with an Essex agate on their backs, which they find a heavier load than the fowls they have shot. It is on this shore, and near this creek, that the greatest quantity of fresh fish is caught, which supplies not this country only, but London markets also. On the shore, beginning a little below Candy Island, or rather below Lee Road, there lies a great shoal or sand called the Black Tail, which runs out near 3 leagues into the sea due east. At the end of it stands a polar mast, set up by the Trinity House men of London, whose business is to lay buoys, and set up sea marks for the direction of the sailors. This is called Shoe Beacon, from the point of land where this sand begins, which is called Sheberiness, and that from the town of Shoebury, which stands by it. From this sand, and on the edge of Shoebury, before it, or southwest of it, all along, to the mouth. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.